Twist endings. Are there times where they hurt the film?
Yeah, definitely.
Some people think that the other's twist ending hurts the rewatchability of it.
Okay.
I disagree.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
I think it immediately does make it less scary in general.
Sure.
But what are some examples of twist endings that maybe ruin the movie or take something out of the movie upon rewatchability now that you know what's happening?
That's a good question. The problem really comes when it seems that a movie has been like built around having a twist.
Mm-hmm.
And because like the example with the others, it's just like a really good movie. It's really well made and it's just fun to watch. So mm-hmm. even if you know the ending of it, you can get past it. I feel like the classic example here is The Village, which is one I can't really speak to personally, but...
Has it been a while? Or you've never seen the whole thing?
I've never seen the whole thing.
We should watch that. We should watch that.
Sure. But people kind of cite that as...
Yeah, sure.
Like a peak, like Shyamalan twisting just to twist when like it would have been better if you just like kept it simple.
Yeah,
not twisted
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
I don't know. Do you have any in mind where?
No, I just we're gonna go see the others, and so sure. It came to mind that like there are people that go like, well, it stops being like an effective horror movie once you know what happens, and I'm like, I mean, it's still creepy. There's one like huge jump scare I still recall. I don't remember where it happens, which is really annoying for tonight, but I just like don't agree. I find it more fascinating when you can watch it with that context, and like sure you can never get back to that place where you don't know what happens, but like that's the whole point of art, is that they made it so that we would have one time where it happens and then the other time where we don't know.
Yeah, and that's also just true of all movies.
By the way.
Yeah, like whether it's a twist ending or not, like you know when Mike Myers is going to pop up and get stabby, and
yeah,
that's less scary every time you watch it because... Like, you know it's coming, but it's still well done or not.
Yep.
So you're fine.
You got a segue?
Not directly. I have a future segue. All
right.
Because there's a twist ending in one of the Saw movies that I think is...
All right. Well, we're not talking about the Saw movies.
Whacking.
We haven't even announced that we're going to be talking about the Saw movies. So we're not. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the 246th episode of What's in the Box Office, your weekly look at movies and the money they make. Each week, we sit down and pore over the weekend's box office returns and tell you what we think they mean for the industry at large. I am your host, Brian.
And I am your host, Noah, and I have nothing further
There's
to say.
Probably a twist ending in Haunting of Venice, which came out this weekend.
Sure. Speaking of Haunting of Venice.
What if there's not, and the person who did it just did it?
Yeah. What if there's not, and it actually is ghosts?
I do not believe in such things.
Well, you best start believing in ghost stories, Mr. Poirot.
Why? Why do you say this?
You're in one.
Oh, no! Sacrum bleu!
So, for this week's top five, I started off looking at the cast of Haunting of Venice.
Well, that's a shame, because I have a note here that has a question about the cast. You'll just have to remember back to before you did that.
All right. I thought, oh, you know, I'll do Branagh movies.
Okay.
Big Ken Branagh. I started looking at his filmography, and I haven't seen a ton of his like 90s Shakespearean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm listing the performances of his that I like, I'm like, okay, well, he was in Dunkirk, and he was good in that, and he was in Tenet, and I liked that, and he was in Oppenheimer, and I'm like, all right, well, this. 3/5 of the list was Chris Nolan because he's just been in
his
past three movies.
Nolan movies, yeah,
and his output other than that was not really listing for me. So I decided to go a step beyond that and look at the, I believe, 9 Christopher Nolan films that Kenneth Branagh has not appeared in.
Okay, so that would be Following.
Yeah.
Memento.
Yeah.
Insomnia.
Yep.
Batman Begins.
Yep.
Was he in The Prestige? Prestige.
No, he wasn't in any until Dunkirk.
Oh, all right, fine.
So it's just everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Up through Dunkirk. So I went through those 9 movies, and I fantasy cast him in what role I think he would best appear in.
Okay, interesting.
In those movies, and I've ranked them from 5 to 1. I do want to say going in that this is not a commentary on the people that actually were cast in those roles. I think oftentimes those people are probably better at that role than Ken Branagh would be. And also just a thing about Christopher Nolan movies, as I was going back and looking at it, they're really well cast. Like, he works with a lot of really good actors.
Sure.
So it's not to say that I would prefer Kenneth Branagh to have starred in my number 5 pick, Insomnia.
Okay.
Over Al Pacino, but I think he would have done well.
Ooh.
I think that the vibes I get from his from the trailers for Haunting in Venice, is it in or of?
In.
Okay. Are sort of like a detective who is very sure of himself, but then is confronted with things that kind of rattle him and get him a little cagey, a little edgy.
Yeah.
And I think that energy could have applied really well to Insomnia. I think, you know, that's Al Pacino's whole deal, is that he can't sleep and he's losing his mind.
He's losing his mind. Speaking of Christopher Nolan.
Exactly. I think Branagh would have done well on that. Number 4, I think, would have been the most appropriate role for how he's mostly been deployed in the Christopher Nolan movies. You know, in not so much in Tenet, he had a major role in that, but in both Dunkirk and Oppenheimer, he's more of a high profile cameo kind of. I mean, basically everyone in Dunkirk was a high profile cameo, but I think in The Prestige, he would have made a great Nikola Tesla, taking the place of David Bowie. Popping in for 1 or 2 scenes and just given a big sort of professionally hammy gravitas performance.
Sure.
I really would have liked that. We now get into the Batmans, and I have 2 Batman selections here. My number 3 is in Batman Begins, and then I guess throughout the whole franchise. I think he would have made a good Alfred.
Yes, I think so. Well, would he be a little young for Alfred?
Yeah.
He's probably the same age as Bale, or like maybe 10 years older than Bale.
Yeah.
Alfred's always like a father figure.
Yeah. I mean, how about Andy Serkis to Ben Affleck? Do you think Andy Serkis is bad?
I don't think Andy Serkis was the Alfred to Ben Affleck.
He wasn't?
No.
Was he the
Irons was.
Oh, he was the Alfred to
a much younger Pattinson.
Sure. Okay. All right. And so you would have had to tweak it a little bit, maybe put Branagh in some old man makeup, which I don't think he's opposed to.
We haven't asked him, but
I have an email out to his team.
Branagh team@gmail.com. We're hoping we hear back.
But I think his demeanor would have fit into that role really well. A place that I would have liked to see him even more, though, my number 2 pick in The Dark Knight, gimme Arthur Dent.
Who did you say?
Two-Face.
But what did you say?
Gimme Arthur Dent.
Harvey.
Harvey, yeah.
Yeah, you're off on names today. Harvey. That's why I was like, Arthur Dent.
Yeah, give me Arthur Dent, Harvey's father that is spoken of but doesn't appear. Wow, yeah, that was a big mess. I want to get Kenneth Branagh out of his shell a little bit.
Out of his shit.
Yeah, I want him out of the movies he's in and in different
ones. He's going to go down.
Which is why I'm doing this whole exercise. He would have been just a really good, steady lawyer presence doing the Aaron Eckhart thing. But then once he gets two-faced and he gets to start screaming Rachel and show me and just yelling things, I think
what does he scream on the hospital bed?
Show
look
me.
At me. Oh yeah, show me.
Or is it look at me?
I think it's look at me because he's like looking away and he's like, look at
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I think it just it would be fun. You don't get a lot of Branagh being unhinged.
That's true.
And that's what I want to see, which is why my number one pick for the role that I want Kenneth Branagh to take in a past Christopher Nolan movie is the role in Memento played by Joe Pantoliano. I think that Kenneth Branagh is a talented actor and I want to see him be fucking like wiry and cagey and weird. I want him to bring that Joey Pants energy.
Can he do that?
I believe in him, but if not, like I want to see it.
All right.
Because that's not something he's very subdued, and he is very like constrained within himself.
Yeah.
And I'd like that's to walk around being
porn
like
site, by the way.
Constrained within yourself.
Nope.
Like very subdued.
I really had to put it together. Take away one of those words.
Subdued. Okay.
Subdued.
That's good. Pretty, I mean,
that's pretty good.
Sure. Whatever you're into.
Subdued.
a lot of different ways you can take that, I think.
It's like a lot of different ways to leave your lover.
And yeah, I think, you know, Branagh walking around being like, you know, rubbing his nose, looking like he's on drugs. Being like, listen, Guy Pearce, you got to listen to me. I'm your friend. That would be fun.
I definitely didn't do it.
He certainly did.
I've forgotten.
I'm pretty sure he did it.
Speaking of twists.
Yeah, there you go. But let's get into our actual top five.
All right.
Which does feature Haunting in Venice, but not at number one. Number one this week was The Nun 2.
What do you mean?
I was followed by Haunting in Venice opening, The Equalizer 3, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3,
an opening
and Barbie 1.
An opening in second.
Yeah, indeed. And do we? Do you want to start out with The Nun on top, making $14.5 million?
I absolutely can. Yeah. It's a decent hold.
Yeah,
especially for the ninth film. Go ahead.
It's a 55% drop. It's up to $56.3 million.
Yeah, it's a decent hold, especially for the ninth film in a 10-year-old franchise. The Nun is certainly a marquee player for this Conjuring universe. I don't know if like this means that like everything's healthy and good. You know, I just feel like The Nun is a popular character. We haven't had a big horror movie in a while. Having said that, it could creep close to $100 million, especially if Saw X tanks like it looks like it's going to. Worldwide, she's only a couple weeks away from being beating the worldwide total for the last film in the franchise, which was the third Conjuring movie. So she's doing pretty well over there. Surprise number one, we'll see if Disney can find a couple extra $100,000 to throw Haunting's way. But
yeah.
She's doing pretty well.
That's all they would need, because while the Nun did make 14.5, A Haunting in Venice opened in the number two spot with $14.2 million.
Yeah, this is a very mixed bag, and I'll tell you why. It's slightly above the more star-studded Death on the Nile, and with a smaller budget, this cost $60 as opposed to $90. But still, it's a $60 million budgeted film that's opening to $14 million domestically. You take that into account with the worldwide opening. It didn't open super wide around the world just yet, but it didn't look great. It's the third film in a franchise that's been on the downturn. The first film carried the most famous title in the series.
Sure.
Like, Murder on the Orient Express has brand recognition. It was a new property and carried a much bigger cast. Johnny Depp, a few months after his fifth Pirates film, grossed nearly $800 million worldwide. Josh Gad, certainly at peak Josh Gad. There was never a more popular time to be Josh Gad than like a few years after Frozen and the year after he was in like The Wedding Ringer and Pixels and The Voice of the Dog with the Purpose or whatever fuck.
He really did have a moment there.
In a moment. Judi Dench, Willem Dafoe, Michelle Pfeiffer, Leslie Odom Jr. less than 2 years after Hamilton premiered. Penelope Cruz and Daisy Ridley less than 2 years after The Force Awakens premiered. Just a stacked cast. Now, Noah,
yeah.
Name three people in this cast that aren't Kenneth Branagh that you knew about before you looked up all your shit today.
Okay. I could have given you two.
Yeah.
I knew Tina Fey.
It's a big cast, though.
Was in this movie. I knew that Michelle Yeoh
yep.
was in this movie, and
newly Oscar winning.
Even after having looked up the
you
cast,
still can't get anybody else.
I can give you one more.
Is it Jude Hill?
No.
From Belfast? Is it Jamie Dornan?
Is it is.
This?
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie Dornan is the third I could name.
But you see what I mean? Those names, Willem Dafoe, Penelope Cruz, Judi Dench, Michelle Pfeiffer, Olivia Colman. I didn't even mention Olivia Colman was in that. And some other people that just weren't like huge names at the time.
Yeah.
Stacked cast. And like even Death on the Nile. Yeah, I just listen. The genre bending here is a nice touch, but how do you not wait until the stakes? This Death on the Nile was like February of last year. How do you not wait until the stink of Nile and the cursed cast it carried, which included Armie Hammer, people don't like Gal Gadot in that movie, which is whatever, and Russell Brand,
yeah,
among others. Like Annette Bening's not bringing people in. How do you not wait till that wears off and come out with a banging cast, dude? Plus the strikes, and no one can actually promote it. And here we are tied with The Nun's second weekend. It's a disappointing result.
Yeah. The thing about a cast for this movie, too, is that, like, there's a world in which they...
It's not as good as the first one. The cast for this movie?
Yes.
That is much better than a cast for this movie, too.
I think that... They could. I'm sorry. I don't have a. Yeah, I'm losing my composure here.
He's freaking out.
They could have like swung big and tried to get more like budding stars to make this a really interesting cast.
Sure.
Who is the Daisy Ridley of right now? I don't know. I'm bad at that. But
who's the Daisy Ridley of now?
Yeah. Who's like.
So just someone who's in like a really popular movie.
Someone who is like one project away from becoming like a name.
Haley Lou Richardson.
Sure, or
White Lotus.
Who's like the Euphoria people, like any of the Euphoria people.
Sydney Sweeney is going to be in so many things.
Jacob Elordi.
Is that how you say his name?
Oh
Lordy.
Think so.
Okay.
But yeah, you could have gotten one of them. But also, just like you could have filled this movie with, like the Willem Dafoes and Annette Bennings
yes.
of the world, which is not gonna bring box office, but it is gonna make it better.
Listen, here,
which will then in turn bring box office.
Here's what I'll say.
Yes.
Even if people don't know who you are, right?
Yes.
Even if people don't know who you are. The part of the trailer where you can just like throw names up on a screen.
Yeah.
Like as a part of the promo, like Willem Dafoe and you cut to a shot of him. Olivia Colman cut to a shot of her. We'll just inherently put in the brains of people. Oh, this movie has a lot of people in it.
Sure.
That are famous.
Yeah. It's a little exciting. Even if most people aren't going to go to a movie for Willem Dafoe.
People are stupid. You can trick them.
As well you should.
What's next?
Next up is The Equalizer 3, which made $7.2 million, a 39.8% drop.
It's a nice drop.
73.6 million.
You know what? I didn't
total.
Look up. I didn't look up what the other ones had.
Okay.
Because I
drop
remember
wise.
They're very like close in grosses.
Right.
But it's a really nice drop. What are we at total?
73.6.
Yeah, we're going to get real close to 100, and I say go for that fourth one. What
yeah,
else?
There's no reason not to. This seems to be very successful.
Yeah.
Next is My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 in fourth place with 4.7 million, a 52.5% drop. It's up to 18.6.
Okay, so no legs. Maybe the audience for this was just waiting for this to hit streaming, but boy, was I really just like, yeah, legs. This love legs.
Yeah.
This might have legs. No, it doesn't.
No,
so fine. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You want to know why? There's no wedding. I don't know. I keep meaning to look up the plot and see if there's a wedding, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer doesn't indicate there's a wedding, so
no,
if there
I'm
is,
gonna,
it's a
I'm
going to
wiki it right now. Go ahead. What's next?
Next is the movie that defines legs in more ways than one. It's Barbie in fifth place with 3.8 million. All
right, we'll move into our spotlights then. How much total?
625.9.
It's past the Avengers for the 12th biggest, might be the 11th now, biggest grossing film domestically. Incredible.
I will double check that for you.
Please do. The premise. Oh, no. This, My Big Fat Greek Wedding is such a flop that it's been out for like 11 days now, and not one person has changed the premise on Wikipedia to full movie. That's how little people care about this movie.
Barbie is currently the 11th highest grossing movie domestically of all time.
It beat the first Avengers movie. Remember when that movie was the biggest thing that ever happened?
Yeah.
And Barbie just beat it. All right. What's next?
Next is we're in the spotlights. What other?
Well, I do want to talk about Jawan, the Indian film. It crossed $100 million of the worldwide box office, fastest Indian film to ever do that. That deserved a shout out. And then also Oppenheimer crossed $900 million worldwide. It's the biggest straight drama of all time domestically, as well as the biggest biopic, beating Bohemian Rhapsody.
And that's so better.
That's, yeah, it's much better.
However hot you are on Oppenheimer, yeah, which our temperatures vary, it's, yeah, better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, it's a thousand times better than Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
By a
it's
long
just
shot.
Pretty, it's just a remarkable feat for a film. And that's all I got.
I do want to shout out the very limited release of Dumb Money.
Oh, you know what I did? We just saw a trailer for it. I did write that down. It did fine. It was an average 27.
27.6,
yeah,
per
that's,
theater.
That's fine. Listen, the whole thing with this was Sony is playing around with this format. This was supposed to open wide.
Okay.
And what happened was the strike made it so that this huge cast, media friendly cast, couldn't promote it.
Right.
So Sony instead decided to release it platform so that they could build buzz that way for the movie. And we'll see if it works. It opens wide in a week or two. And I don't expect it to do anything, but it's an interesting strategy.
Yeah. Outside of that, there's not much going on. So it is time to play everybody's favorite game. Which did it make more or less than? We all know how to play after 1 week. It's ingrained in our brains, but I'll tell you anyway.
Ingrained in our brains.
I name three movies, and you tell me whether each one made more or less than Insomnia, Little Women, or both. So you're saying, is it less than both, more than both, or right in the middle there? For a bonus point, you can tell me.
It's always Insomnia and Little Women?
Yeah.
Okay.
they make a nice bookend, and they're still.
Why?
I just like the, like, why those two movies?
Why do they make a nice bookend for each other?
Oh no, I just mean in terms of like what they grossed. It's it's like
it's
good,
like
good.
It's like
good
40
tier
million.
Breaks.
Yeah, sure.
And for the bonus point, you tell me the final gross of each movie within $5 million.
All right.
All right. I gave you all three at once last week. Do you want all three? Or do you want to go one by one?
One by one.
All right. Your first film is Easy A.
Because I'll tell you why. I think doing them all at once will give me hints.
Okay.
Because then I'll go, oh, well, I know that one was more. So one of these two must be the in between.
I will say it's not always going to be one of each.
Easy A. I would say less than Insomnia or more than Little Women or in between.
Yes.
Less than Insomnia.
That is correct.
Yeah. It was a hit, though.
I was. That's how I was hoping to get you with it.
We don't need the years?
No, I just need the final gross of Easy A
within
$5 million.
I'm going to say, I'm going to say 68.
That is too high.
Damn.
Easy A made $58 million.
What a flop.
I mean, it's still a
flop.
Yeah. All right. Your second film, The Intern.
The Intern with Anne Hathaway, Robert De Niro, Nancy Myers.
Yes, indeed. Robert De Niro is pretty old for an intern.
Less.
But he has
less.
Less than both?
Yeah.
No, that one's right in the middle.
In between? Yeah. God damn it. 80. Even 80.
Good job stopping at 80. It made 75.
Okay.
So you get that.
Insomnia made less than 75.
You get that point.
Locking that away. All right.
Yes, that is true. Your final film. You're at 2 points. You've gotten one movie right and one bonus point right, and we're going on to Rocket Man.
Oh, wow.
the better Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's close. More. But I think it's close.
It is close, but it's unfortunately in the middle.
Oh, damn it! 118.
No. 96.
Oh, it didn't cross 100?
No.
See, I thought it crossed 100.
I...
All right.
No, the Little Women did. Throw it in.
I know.
Yeah, so that is a win for me this round. It's a 2-point effort, which is still, I think, well done. This game seems to be sufficiently challenging so far. Might tweak it a little bit as the weeks come on.
All right.
But yeah, well done all the same.
Thanks.
And now, come and gone from a theater near you. Are you ready to go back in time?
Yeah.
All right. This week we are visiting 2016.
Space Odyssey.
What
are the dates?
Yeah, okay. September 9th through September 11th. This is week 37. You have two films in the top two spots here.
2016.
Yes.
Just give me a hint.
All right. The number one is a drama. Just a sort of a rip from the headlines.
Okay, adult drama. Like a Sully.
Yeah, like a Sully.
Captain Phillips.
No, it's Sully. It's Sully.
Oh, okay. I don't want to go too high.
But you also don't want to go too low because this
33.
The answer is no. I mean, it's 35. So that's right there.
Nice.
All right. And in number two this weekend is a thriller, sort of a adult psychological thriller here. Two movies for adults coming out back to back this weekend.
Love it. You love to see it.
Let's see. This is not a movie that I saw. You have any early thoughts on thrillers?
Nope.
All right. Let's see. This movie features Glenn Marshauer was in this. Michael K. Williams, Theo Rossi. Okay.
No, keep going.
All right. Let's see. Regina Hall appeared in this.
Oh, I like Regina Hall, but it was a thriller.
It was, yeah. This is not a funny Regina Hall.
No, I need some more. What else?
Morris Chestnut?
No.
All right. Let's see.
Is this a Tyler Perry film?
It is not.
Morris Chestnut. What has he been doing? Chestnut?
Yeah.
What is this, 2002?
No, it's 2016. He appeared in this film.
Is it like that one that it's like the room, like a little room they could go into?
No, I don't believe there's a room. I don't think there's any sort of like supernatural premise here.
All
right. We got here the... Broad premise we're looking for. A woman begins to develop a deadly crush on the husband of the couple she is surrogate mothering for.
Oh, what? I don't know. What?
I think think nursery rhyme.
When the cradle rocks. When the bow breaks.
There it is. Yeah,
okay,
that's
God.
The one. Yeah, I figured that was going to need some more specific clues, but it opened at number two.
Okay, great. 14.
Yeah, 14. Yeah. 14.2, yeah. Exactly. That was well done. Do you, off the top of your head, recognize a movie titled The Wildlife?
No.
It made the number five spot, but it was only...
What is it?
Only $3 million. It seems to be an animated Lionsgate movie. A daring parrot recounts how Robinson Crusoe came to be stranded on a tropical island. So you're welcome for not making you guess The Wildlife.
The Wildlife. That's us. I guess we're just living the wildlife.
Caw! And that's it for that weekend.
No, Adamus, did you predict? You didn't predict Haunting.
No, I did not.
Well, we have an early reaction.
Wonderful.
I don't think you've seen the trailer yet for Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom
No,
of the City.
I have not.
Well, Here we go. And you know, one of those people going, good, Amber Heard's not in it. Thank God. And you go, why don't you like Amber Heard? And they go, I don't know. I've been told.
I've been told about women.
I told she hurt my Johnny Depp's feelings. What's the last John Depp movie you saw? Huh? I had one of the pirates. I don't know which one. Probably the first one.
This character is who you imagine when you're thinking like the Johnny Depp stands.
Who? What's your voice for the Johnny Depp stands?
That fucking Amber Heard.
I knew it was going to be Mickey.
It was just high pitched.
I was about to say, are you going to? Can you do anything other than a Mickey Mouse voice for a woman? Is it a woman? You think it?
Yes, it's a younger woman.
Okay. Don't you dare hurt him. Leave him alone.
Actually, if you look at the facts of the case,
she may have pooped in his bed or something.
Read the depositions.
Oh, come on now. Hey, come on, leave him alone. He's just a little goofy. All right. Aquaman and Lost Kingdom, a movie that was supposed to come out two years ago. It's coming out in December. We get our first trailer in September.
That always works out.
In James Wan, we trust? I don't know. Let's watch. Noah hasn't seen this trailer. We're going to watch for the first time. He's going to pause the recording. But it'll be fine, because as always, it'll be seamless. All right, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, releasing December 20th, 2020. Three, massive reshoots, whispers about a troubled production, genuinely shocked Nicole Kidman's back.
Yeah, me too.
Willem Dafoe's not back.
That's a bummer.
And when Aquaman said to Ocean Master, little brother, and he said, don't call me brother, I went, the first time I watched it, I went, brother?
What See?
The hell are you talking? I didn't remember that. At all.
When they were doing that line, I thought, oh, a new character who is Aquaman's brother. And then they cut his hair and revealed Patrick Wilson. I was like, oh, okay. I guess, like, I also don't remember that, but I guess it makes sense that that was, like, his claim to the throne or whatever.
Yeah, who cares? Also, someone already pointed out this beautiful gem.
Manta.
He also, like, right after that, he goes, we need to find Manta. He has changed. Like, it's just another different tone of voice entirely.
It's ADR on top of ADR.
I like that they're like, Manta's so good. We have to bring him back.
Well,
how do we not have giant bug eyes again?
That's continuity, I guess. You don't want to, like, start from
Willem
scratch.
Willem Dafoe's not back.
Well, maybe he died between movies.
One shot of Amber Heard so they can go, well, she's in there.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We support her. She's in there. Ooh, I hope this strike lasts till December. I hope it lasts till December. Nobody can ask us questions about her. She's in there. What'd you think?
I think this movie looks, and when music. when I say looks, it's like, I mean visually, like shit.
How dare you? What part of it? I'm putting it on again. Tell me to pause when it looks like shit.
Okay.
Well, fine.
Well, the first 30 seconds is him being like, I have a baby. And that's all fine. But then they go underwater, and I went into like a...
You really do. I think a big part of that issue is he's like, and I'm Aquaman. And it's like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, you're just punching a ship? Like, what? What is this that's happening?
Everything under the sea.
Is that like
really
a tentacle or a tail? I don't know.
It's like gave me Nom flashback to watching Quantumania.
That's cute, though.
Yeah, the stuff on the clothesline, sure.
Clothesline's cute. The castle looks cool. I don't know.
I think everything underwater looks just like
Sorry it's not Avatar.
I'm sorry, too.
The Way of Water.
That would be nice if it was, because I had problems with that movie, but it was good.
We need to find Manta.
This isn't going to be. Nicole Kidman just looks horrible. Like, not like her just aesthetic in this.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like she belongs. She looks very much like someone went to a serious actress and was like, Nicole Kidman, will you put on Aquaman's mother cosplay?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay.
We would find Manta. I'm going to turn the sound down when that happens again. Because okay. It's just so funny. No, it's not. Look how ripped Wilson is.
I know. Yeah,
Pat Wilson.
Another reason I did not recognize him.
Yeah, that all looks crazy. It looks very much like, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth kind of thing. I don't know, I guess. Like, why do they have to find the Lost Kingdom? We said there's seven kingdoms, right?
Yeah. Well,
see, we need to find Manta.
He's different now.
He's different now. He's different now. Yeah,
that's just also just on its own. He's different now.
Do you remember what he was like? He's not like that right now. He's different.
He's got a whole other thing going on. Oh boy, I'm not gonna be happy to watch Aquaman 2.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Yes, and the Lost Kingdom. They should use Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum to find the Lost Kingdom.
How many millions of dollars will this make?
This will open to... it's tough, because on the one hand, the DC thing is kind of currently in a... simultaneous free fall and regeneration. Mostly free fall, but hopes of regeneration.
It opens on a Wednesday, so you could do the pure... Well, Christmas Eve is on Sunday, which is not a huge movie-going day. And Christmas Day is Monday, so it's probably Wednesday to Monday is what people are going to go with.
Jesus Christ.
Which is 6 days. Or you could just do the weekend if you want.
6 days.
It's the weirdest reaction to 6 days.
I'm just like, that's a whole week of moving. And also the Christmas thing makes it harder. Man, this number's going to be wrong. I wanted to get this right.
Well, get it right. You got a lot of red on that page.
I felt so good about my prediction of $60 million for Aquaman just opening on like a regular weekend.
Sure. Okay. You could say that for the weekend.
I will. I'll say $60 million for the weekend.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on that number?
That's pretty good. I don't know how this is going to do.
Damn.
I have no idea how this is going to do, man. I figured, like,
it's a bigger deal than...
The Flash?
Yeah, The Flash or Shazam or, like, certainly Blue Beetle. Like, it has some franchise gravitas behind it, so I didn't want to go too low.
Yeah.
But also, like, maybe it makes $30 million. Who knows? But no, I'm... Optimism's the wrong word, but I'm sticking with 60. Locked
in. All right. Hey, Noah, that's it. Recommend a movie for the folks for this week / weekend.
All right. I don't have anything new to offer here. Dumb Money seems fun, but I'm gonna take a shot in the dark on a movie that...
Dumb Money.
That
idiot money.
I haven't seen, but expect to check in with eventually. Been on a Denzel kick as of recent, and The Equalizer 3, I'm sure, is fun. I've heard it's the best of the three.
It's the best.
And that's good. The first one was watchable.
Is there anything out?
Haunting in Venice?
I hear that's supposed to be good, so I say just go see that. Who doesn't like a whodunit?
I also hear that's the best of the three.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whodunit?
It's a great time. Yeah, the Poirot movies have like a bad reputation on film Twitter and whatever.
We have a great time.
Yeah, they're fun. They're just like okay to good.
Yeah.
But they're well done and fun, and it's okay.
Yeah. He stuck a cane in the Wailing Wall and someone hit it.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good move. probably not appreciated by like the elders.
Hi-yah!
But it worked. He got his man.
He ripped it out and a bunch of prayers flew out. Yeah, never to be put back in. These people who traveled thousands of miles to put their prayer on the wall. And then he turned and a bunch of old Jewish men were looking at him with their jaws agape. And he walked by them and he went, Shalom. And then tapped his cane to his hat and walked away.
Remember when the second movie began with an origin story of his mustache?
Shalom. Yeah, I do.
That was some shit.
He was like drawing like a pyramid. I am painting a pyramid. Do not disturb me.
But also, he got like a war injury, like took like shrapnel to the lip.
It was really about him.
Yeah.
It was a big movie about Pierre. All right. This has been Noah Plagasip.
See, now you're doing like Creole. You've lost it. You can find us at whatsintheboxoffice.com. We're on X at WitBoxOffice. It is also
we're
our Instagram.
On X!
I did it. It's also our Instagram handle. I am on X at Noah Drucki.
I am Brian DeSabiel. DASURBEL.
See, it's
better?
Back.
Thank
yeah, it's
you.
Back.
I cannot go super big with it. I have to keep it small and tiny.
Much like Kenneth Branagh.
Much like the portions we have in France. I have to keep it small and tiny.
Of course, the feed for our podcast can be found anywhere
just
podcasts
like
are found. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify.
No, we're, yeah, we are. We're not on Stitcher, though.
No, yeah. That's,
we're
that's
on
the
Overcast.
Problem is that I opened with Stitcher before, and so it throws off my rhythm.
R.I.P. Stitcher.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Stitcher.
This episode dedicated to Stitcher.
If you wait, there will be a moment of silence at the end, and it just imagine on the screen, it says, in loving memory, Stitcher
yeah.
Premium.
Do not queue up another podcast after this.
Do
otherwise,
not queue up another
will ruin
podcast.
The moment of silence.
Queue is also our word. You yeah. took it from us.
I apologize, Hercule.
Yeah, I guess I am. Am I just being Hercule? All right. No one leaves this room till we end the podcast.
well, let's
all
do
right.
so.
Next week, I don't know. Whatever's coming out.
What is coming out next week? A Haunting in Venice 2?
Noah's looking.
I am looking. The limited re-release of Stop Making Sense. Expend Four Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, God.
Let's see how much that makes. There was a great thing where on Twitter I saw like an ad for it, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. It's like, we listened. And then it had...
We listened.
Yeah, and it had a bunch of Twitter quotes of people saying, like, the next one better be rated R. Bring back the violence, rated R. And it was like, we listened. And I'm like, you get no goddamn credit for making your third movie PG-13 to try to widen your audience. And when that backfired on you entirely because people were pissed you were an R rate, you weren't doing the violence anymore, for you to come back, like, 7 years later and go, we heard you, are hitting us back. Like, you made that decision, bro.
Yeah, and you're only making the new one because that decision sucked.
Anyway, no one will see it, but that's coming out, so tune in to see how that does. Plus, we'll have more games, and we'll make an announcement. I guess we can just do that next week.
Wonderful.
All right, this has been What's in the Box Office. I have been your host, Brian.
And I have been your host, Noah.
Right. No, Brian. That's a hard word to say.
Brian.
Brian.
I think it would be Brian.
Brian Serbier. we'll see you next time. And until then, go see a movie.